Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D. Came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Welcome to Deeper Truth, Holy Name of Jesus, preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? Today is December 17, 2022, Feast of St. Hildegard of Bingen. And my blog, Roots of the Anti-Christmas Agenda. And so let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase of your grace. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family. Amen. O good Jesus, according to your great mercy, have mercy on me. O most merciful Jesus, by your precious blood, which you did shed for sinners, I beseech you to wash away all my iniquities and to look generously, graciously upon me, a poor and unworthy sinner, as I call upon your holy name. Therefore, O Jesus, do save me for your holy sake, your holy name's sake. O God, who did appoint your only begotten Son to be the Savior of mankind and did command his name to be called Jesus, mercifully grant that we may enjoy the vision of him in heaven, whose holy name we venerate on earth. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Saint Hildegard of Bingen. And she said, the mystery of God hugs you in all its encompassing arms. In all his encompassing arms. Abbess, artist, author, composer, mystic, pharmacist, poet, preacher, theologian, where to begin in describing this remarkable woman? A 12th century Benedictine nun who had extraordinary visions. She wrote about these visions in her theological books, and she used them as inspiration for compositions. She founded her own abbey, created her own language, and wrote one of the first musical plays. Born in 1098, Hildegard began to live with a hermitess near her parents' home when she was 8 years old. The woman educated the child Hildegard and over time gathered several other women into a community of religious sisters. Born into a noble family, she was instructed for 10 years by this holy woman, Blessed Jutta. When Hildegard was 18, she became a Benedictine nun at the monastery of St. Disibodenberg. As Hildegard matured, her interior life expanded as well. Hildegard began to receive visions while enthralled in prayer, and she was granted the gift of seeing the future while in conversation with others. When the holy hermit woman who had educated her died, Hildegard was appointed the new leader of their monastic community. Ordered by her confessor to write down the visions that she had received since she was 3, having experienced visions since she was a child, at age 43, she consulted her confessor, who in turn reported the matter to the Archbishop of Mainz, that's in Germany. And a committee of theologians subsequently confirmed the authenticity of Hildegard's visions, and a monk was appointed to help her record them in writing. The finished work, SCIVIAS, Shivis, 1141 to 1152, consisted of 26 visions that are prophetic and apocalyptic in form and in their treatment of such topics as the church, the relationship between God and humanity, and redemption. So Hildegard took 10 years to write this book. Pope Eugene III read it, and in 1146 encouraged her to continue writing her Book of the Merits of Life and Book of Divine Works followed. She wrote over 300 letters to people who sought her advice. She also composed short works on medicine and physiology and sought advice from contemporaries such as Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. Hildegard's visions caused her to see humans as living sparks of God's love, coming from God as daylight comes from the sun. Sin destroyed the original harmony of creation. Christ's redeeming death and resurrection opened up new possibilities. Virtuous living reduces the estrangement from God and others that sin causes. Like all mystics, Hildegard saw the harmony of God's creation and the place of women and men in that. This unity was not apparent to many of her contemporaries. Hildegard was no stranger to controversy. The monks near her original foundation protested vigorously when she moved her monastery to Bingen, overlooking the Rhine River. She confronted Emperor Frederick for supporting at least 3 antipopes. Hildegard challenged the Cathars, who rejected the Catholic Church, claiming to follow a more pure Christianity. Between 1152 and 1162, Hildegard often preached in the Rhineland. Her monastery was placed under interdict because she had permitted the burial of a young man who had been excommunicated. She insisted that he had been reconciled with the church and had received its sacraments before dying. Hildegard protested bitterly when the local bishop forbade the celebration or reception of the Eucharist at the Ben Jean Monastery, a sanction that was lifted only a few months before her death. Her reputation and visions drew more women to her community, and Hildegard helped the nuns move into a larger monastery. She wrote a number of hymns and songs for the community and composed extensive theological treatises on the beauty of sacred music. In 2012, Hildegard was canonized and named a Doctor of the Church by Pope Benedict XVI. Her liturgical feast is celebrated on September the 17th. She was constantly rebuking princes, bishops, and popes in a fearless manner when she did not approve of their actions. She was able to foretell the future, and she wrote her visions down. An archbishop later declared that her visions had come from God. In total, she had 26 visions. She wrote more than 300 letters to kings and popes with prophecies and warnings. Pope Eugenius III read her writings and told her to write whatever the Holy Spirit told her to do. With the blessing of her pope, she built a large monastery and had such things as running water for her and the other nuns. While St. Hildegard was revered as a saint for centuries and listed as a saint in the Roman martyrology, she was not officially canonized until 2012, 833 years after her death. She is the patron saint of ecology, and as well as musicians and writers. St. Hildegard of Bingen was declared a Doctor of the Church quite recently in 2012 by Pope Benedict XVI. Or 15th. She is first in a line of mystical saints from Germany. Hildegard was a poet, prophet, physician, and political advocate, and fearlessly gave advice to popes and princes. Hildegard began to feel called to write down what she saw in her visions, but she hesitated out of concern for what others might think. Nevertheless, the promptings persisted, and Hildegard brought the case before her confessor. They decided that Hildegard was to share her visions, and she began to preserve in writing her mystical revelations of Christ's love, angels, and hell. Her writings were examined by the local archbishop who declared them authentic. Throughout her life, Hildegard continued to record and what she saw in prayer. She was known for a number of miracles during her lifetime. Finally, her health gave out, and though her body was incapacitated, she continued to meet with people and give advice and offer insight. She died on today's date, September the 17th, in 1179, and quickly miracles began to be reported at her tomb. In a turbulent age, Hildegard used her talents in the quest for obtaining true justice, peace. She corresponded with four popes, two emperors, King Henry II of England, and famous clergy. Her works include commentaries on the Gospels, the Athanasian Creed, and the rule of Saint Benedict, as well as lives of the saints, and a medical work on the human body. Hildegard is regarded as one of the greatest figures of the 12th century, the first of the great German mystics, a poet, a physician, a musician, and a visionary. Hildegard died on September the 17th, 1179. Miracles were reported at her death, and the people honored her a saint. Beatified but not formally canonized, her name was inserted in the Roman martyrology In the 15th century, her feast day is September the 7th. The papal propagation of canonization based on a standing tradition of popular veneration. Later that year, Benedict proclaimed Hildegard a doctor of the church, one of only four women to have been so named. She is considered a patron saint of musicians and writers. The works is divided into three parts, reflecting the Trinity. The first and second parts are approximately equal in length, while the third is as long as the other two together. The first part includes a preface describing how she was commanded to write the work and includes six visions dealing with themes of creation and the fall. The second part consists of seven visions and deals with salvation through Jesus Christ, the church, and the sacraments. The third part, with 13 visions, is about the coming kingdom of God through sanctification and increased tension between good and evil. The final vision includes 14 songs plus a portion of the music drama, which was later published. In each vision, she first described what she saw and then recorded explanations she heard, which she believed to be the voice of heaven. And so words to live by coming from Saint Hildegard of Bingen. The mystery of God hugs you in all its encompassing arms. All living creatures are sparks from the radiation of God's brilliance, emerging from God like the rays of the sun. All of creation is a song of praise to God. We cannot live in a world that is not our own, in a world that is interpreted for us by others. An interpreted world is not a home. Part of the horror, or part of the terror, is to take back our own listening, to use our own voice, to see our own light. Be not lax in celebrating. Be not lazy in the festive service of God. Be ablaze with enthusiasm. Let us be an alive, burning offering before the altar of God. I want to say that one again. Be not lax in celebrating. Be not lazy in the festive service of God. Be ablaze with enthusiasm. Let us be and be alive. Come alive. Wake up. Burning offering before the altar of God. Humanity, take a good look at yourself inside. You've got heaven and earth and all of creation. You're a world. Everything is hidden in you. These visions which I saw were not in sleep nor in dreams, nor in my imagination, nor by bodily eyes or outward ears, nor in hidden place, but in watching, aware, with the pure eyes of the mind and inner heart, inner ear of the heart. Even in a world that's being shipwrecked, remain brave and strong. Even in a world that's being shipwrecked, remain brave and strong. A human being is a vessel that God has built for himself and filled with his inspiration so that his works are perfected in it. Again, a human being is a vessel that God has built for himself and filled with his inspiration so that his works are perfected in it. And so those are words to live by from Saint Hildegard of Bingen. Praise God and his holy saints. Don't let yourself forget that God's grace rewards not only those who never sleep or never slip, but also those who bend and fall. Those saying, and that's good news there, because we can be redeemed through God's mercy. We shall awake from our dullness and rise vigorously toward justice. If we fall in love with creation deeper and deeper, we will respond to its endangerment with passion. There is the music of heaven in all things, and we have forgotten how to hear it until we sing. I welcome all the creatures of the world with grace. And so those are the words coming from Saint Hildegard of Bingen. And her feast day is today. Well, we're recognizing it, December the 17th, 2022. And I have a caller, area code 708. Welcome to Deeper Truth. Do you have any thought or comment about Saint Hildegard of Bingen that I shared just a few moments ago? If you're there, give me your first name and where you're calling from. And that's okay. Maybe they're just listening in, and that's okay. Well, next, the Roots, my blog, Roots of the Anti-Christmas Agenda. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns for lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. I love this song as one of my favorite Advent songs. It is great also to meditate before the Eucharist in adoration. The song, The Son of God Appeared Physically on Christmas Day, December 25th, 2 BC, as a little baby. The Son of God appears physically at each and every Mass. Rejoice at Mass. The Son of God will appear a second and final time for all time, bringing the fulfilled promise to liberate his people. The tide against Christmas today is coming basically in opposition to the Catholic Church, and the opposition is coming from several different directions. Secularists, the atheists, are coming from one direction, while a number of fundamental Protestant groups continue their attacks of Christmas. Because of this threat of political correctness and the secularization of our country, various businesses have voluntarily tried to reduce Christmas to a secular holiday. Bill O'Reilly of Fox News, formerly of Fox News, has done much to defend Christmas, and as a result, businesses like Walmart reversed their policy and allowed Christmas to be recognized and celebrated. This is why people should let their local businesses know how you feel. I am told they do not want to offend people of other religions, but yet they have no problem offending the sensibilities of 80% plus of the public who do love the season of Christmas. That makes no sense. People many times are agenda-driven and not truth-driven. That is the obvious explanation. The war on Christmas can be traced back to the English Parliament under King Charles I in the 1640s. At the time, the Puritan influence through the Presbyterian Church caused tensions leading to civil wars. Christmas was viewed as trappings of popery and rags of the beast. The Catholic Church was seen as the whore of Babylon and the Pope the Antichrist. In January 1645, the Directory of Public Worship called for the end of Christmas largely because of the Presbyterian Church. Parliament decreed festivals, days, vulgarly called holy days, having no warrant in the Word of God, are not to be continued. Christmas 1647, a number of ministers were arrested for preaching on Christmas Day. The Catholic faith was persecuted beginning in 1534 until 1829. So these ministers were mostly Anglican clergy. By 1652, Parliament placed penalties on businesses that celebrated Christmas. And by 1657, the army was brought in to interrogate churchgoers suspected of celebrating Christmas. Because of this influence taking place in the English Parliament, the Puritan influence was being felt in the New World as well. Christmas was illegal in New England during this time, the 17th century. This ban on Christmas would last until the 1850s, when immigrants from pro-Catholic countries such as Ireland and Germany began to arrive by the millions. A Massachusetts law of 1659 punished offenders who celebrated Christmas with a fine of 5 shillings. To the Puritans, Christmas was an invention of Rome. In that I agree. It was a practice of the early church. But the Puritans began developing a new historical approach, claiming that the Emperor Constantine originated Christmas, embodying paganism through its practices and rituals. Elaborate versions began to appear as the hostility towards the Catholic Church intensified. Groups like the Seventh-day Adventists were formed in 1863 through their anti-Catholic bias. Because of the influx of Catholics, Leading universities such as Bob Jones University began printing out anti-Catholic tracts, and this was basic standard academics in America at the time. The Puritan leaders in America rejected Christmas because they associated it with paganism and idolatry. Even today, small groups of Puritan-like-minded individuals still try to use these arguments. In 1870, Christmas became a federal holiday under President Ulysses S. Grant. As the Puritan position began to decrease, Americans began to accept Christmas, both the spiritual as well as the commercial value. Today, the majority of Christians have no problem with Christmas. Most of them see Christmas as a holiday to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. That is Christmas. Christmas is a season to bring the message of peace, to recall the story of that first Christmas day. The coming of our Savior is to bring great joy. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 states, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This good news was prophesied over 700 years before Jesus' birth. That is the Christmas story. To those who celebrate the child's birth, Isaiah would say, "No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper, and you shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, says the Lord." When people wake up to the truth of the Catholic faith, their eyes are opened to the truth. Then the joy of Christmas can penetrate the heart and mind, bringing hope where before there was despair. I think this is a major reason why some of these groups refuse to accept Christmas being December 25, because this totally refutes their agenda of claiming the church was pagan. The attack on Christmas is definitely an attack on the Catholic faith. The secularists will not always be that open with it, but the various Protestant groups will not hide it. They double down on it. The battle lines are drawn. There are those who seek to rob us of our faith and joy in the Lord. Be encouraged, St. Paul wrote. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with you, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. That is Christmas. So I wish, and I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as we continue on with this, with our series, Holy Name of Jesus, preparing for December 25. Are you ready? Well, we are getting ready. That's what the whole purpose of Advent is for, preparing us for the coming of the King. And if you have the opportunity in your parish to go to Eucharistic Adoration, take some time and spend some time with our Lord. No greater gift that you can give our Lord is your own self. He desires you. He loves you so much. And he said on from the cross, "I thirst." He thirsts for you. And he calls you. So when you go to receive the Eucharist on Sunday or at Mass, that is an invitation. You are invited by him to come and receive him. "For this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, to be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. And do this in memory of me." I will end with, "O Come All You Faithful," perfect song for adoration.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
And it says in James chapter 5, 19 through 20, that if someone has gone astray from the truth, and then another brings them back, know that you have saved a soul from death. And so when you go to confession, which I call the mercy seat of God, when you go to confession, the Lord takes those sins you confessed and he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness and he remembers them no more. And there you receive a judgment. You receive a judgment of mercy. And Jesus will honor this judgment of mercy that he grants through the action of his priest in the confessional. When we stand before him to face his judgment, when we stand before him, he will honor that mercy. And so how great a gift this is, the sacrament of confession. So if it's been a while since you've been to Mass, if it's been a while since you've practiced your Catholic faith, we invite you to come home and welcome home to those many out there in deeper tooth land who have come home. Welcome home. Jesus' love abounds, and may he smile. May his radiance shine upon you and your loved ones this day. So glory to God in the highest, and blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, deeper truth, holy name of Jesus, preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? Well, Advent is getting us ready. So we will end in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God be with you all. And good day.